is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And I'm so glad you're able to join me today as we start a new series called Nothing But the Blood. And I'm going to start by reading Exodus chapter 24, 3 to 8 and Hebrews 9, 15 to 22. Exodus 24 and 3. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has said, we will do." And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. And he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has said we will do, and be obedient." And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words." And so, again, the Bible talks about how Moses sprinkled the blood on the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant." So, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. "For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has commanded you.' Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission." And so I think verse 22 is key. It's interesting how there's a parallel between what I read in Exodus 24 and Hebrews 9 in terms of the sprinkling of the blood. And we see that the blood, therefore, was, very central to the worship of God under the Old Testament. And it was a type and a shadow of what the blood of Jesus does for us today. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. The NIV says in verse 22, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." So there is no forgiveness or no remission without the blood. Mankind has universally struggled with the questions: where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going when I die? The gospel, and only the gospel, answers these questions. But the other questions cannot be adequately answered without also addressing this question: what can wash away my sins? For we cannot contemplate eternity without coming to the realization that we are sinners. And this is such an important thing for us to understand, is that we are sinners in desperate need of a Savior. While atheism says there is no God, and therefore no right or wrong, no heaven or hell, no sin or judgment, no consequences to our actions, our common sense tells us this is wrong. Everything did not somehow come from nothing. If there is a creation, there must also be a creator, one that we are accountable to. We instinctively know that there is both a judge and a judgment, one that we know deep down that we will not escape or avoid. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 22. "But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified." Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written: "Many, many, tekel, upharsin." This is the interpretation of each word: many. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Everything that God said to this man through Daniel came to pass before the night was even through. And again, I think that's quite a key verse that really resonates through the centuries and speaks even to us today. Many, many tekel upharsin. Many. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. But while atheism denies God, religion denies reality. It pretends that we can somehow fix ourselves. We can't. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Religion tells us to try harder, to improve, or to save yourself through ritual, prayer, serve, sacrifice, sweat. But while most of us have tried this, it too leaves us empty, dissatisfied, and utterly disillusioned. For we can't outrun or ignore the voice of a guilty conscience. Education, wealth, accomplishment, or fame cannot take away that inescapable sense on the inside that we are sinners. We need to be forgiven for the wrongs we have done, and we know it. Because an exclusive address, a full bank account, an impressive investment portfolio, designer clothes, jewelry, or a large following online will not fill the void on the inside. You can try, but you will fail. For that gnawing emptiness, that sense of disquiet we have on the inside that tells us that we are wrong, that feeling of dread at the thought of dying, testifies to the fact that deep down we know that we have a problem we cannot fix. We are sinners in desperate need of a Savior. Job 32 and verse 8 tells us, "But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding." Because you can fool everyone except yourself. Simply listen to your own heart. Listen to the voice of your spirit. If you are not saved, you already know it. Be honest. It terrorizes you, the idea of dying in your sin. Because glamour doesn't erase guilt, there are some things that makeup can't cover. Wealth or education can't silence the voice of your conscience. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. C.H. Spurgeon, 1834 to 1892. The only cure for a guilty conscience is the sight of Jesus suffering on the cross. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the blood. What does a drowning man need? Air. What does a sinner need? Forgiveness. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The only answer to mortal man's predicament is the precious blood of Jesus. Nothing else and no one else. Only the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me read the words of this beautiful old hymn as I finish today. Nothing But the Blood by Robert Lowry, 1826 to 1899. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. O precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. The hymn writer had a simple life-changing revelation. The blood and nothing but the blood can cleanse a weary, sin-stained soul. Revelation 12 and verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You see, there is victory in the blood. Jesus purchased the church in his own precious blood. It is his and his alone. And we who minister and serve would do well to remember that it is his gospel, his glory, his word, his name, his blood, his sacrifice, his salvation, and his church. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. May the peace and presence of Christ our Savior fill your heart and home in Jesus' wonderful name. Shalom.